You know, I was thinking about what to preach on this Sunday, and I couldn't get away from a thought. As I was dwelling upon this over the last couple of weeks, you can go ahead and turn your hymn books to 177. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 89. We're gonna kind of do a dual purpose thing here today. But I was able to give a testimony that I was thankful for God's great faithfulness. God's great faithfulness. And the title of the message today is simply "Great is Thy Faithfulness." You say that's the title of the song. I'm just borrowing it. I don't think these guys would mind. But we're going to sing this here after I read in Psalm 89. So if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for God's word, Psalm 89, just the first eight verses we're going to read, or first nine verses rather. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses. And the psalmist begins, and this is one of the ones I like to read. Our son's name is Ethan. This is a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. So there you go, Ethan. This is one of the psalms that your namesake wrote there and in the scriptures. And it says this: "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." Amen. Now open your hymn books before you sit down. And I'll just let you stand just a little bit longer, because I told you I'm going to preach till 1:30, so I want you to get your legs straight, stretched out really good. And let's sing these verses of "Great is Thy Faithfulness." On that first verse, sing it together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. hope for tomorrow. Blessings,
10,000.
Thousand beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. I want to thank Brother Kiros and his family. They turned me on to this hymn book. It's a wonderful hymn book. It's a little heavy for a church hymn book. It's got quite a few hymns. But it's put out by a company called Melody Publications. And it's just a delightful hymn book. But I think Brother Losey got a copy of it. And I ordered a couple copies of it. But they have in here the different passages of scriptures that these authors used as reference for these verses of the hymns. And it also gives some different things. For instance, this particular hymn, it says this hymn first appeared in a compilation by William Runyon with the tune composed specifically for these words. Mr. Runyon noted this particular poem had held such an appeal that I prayed most earnestly that my tune might carry its message in a worthy way. Subsequent history of its use indicates that God answered this prayer. And Mr. Runyon used one of the scriptures. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Lamentations chapter 3, that's how this particular hymn got its title, was from Lamentations and verses chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. We know that Jeremiah, the great prophet, by the way, Jeremiah was not regarded as a great prophet. He was very, very well hated by his people. He wrote this in Lamentations 3. Look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is though of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So you notice that Mr. Chisholm, as he wrote this poem, and as Mr. Runyon put the tune to the words, you understand that this is not original with these guys. This is original with Scripture. That God's faithfulness is indeed great. You know, it is a wonder that we're not consumed. Why? Because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. And it says, great is thy faithfulness. Then he says in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. You know, I hope that these great hymns of the faith are more than just songs to you. One of my mentors and friend, Dr. Bob Smith, said if he could only have two books, this is what he wants. He wants his old King James Bible and a good old hymn book. Why? Because they remind us of God's great faithfulness. And if we miss the faithfulness of God, you say, but what about all the bad things that happen in this world? Folks, do you understand? It's a wonder that we're not consumed. We could be consumed. God didn't have to send his son to die. There didn't have to be a plan of salvation. It could have just, Adam and Eve could have chosen to sin against God and it could have just been done. But God is faithful. And his great faithfulness is what I want to focus on. First of all, let's look at the definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness simply means fidelity. And I looked at that. Like, what does fidelity mean? Hello. It means faithfulness. Sempre. Come on, Marines. Fidelis. There's no Marines in here today. Okay. Right? Semper Fi. Always faithful. It's fidelity. Loyalty. God's great faithfulness. It means a firm adherence to allegiance and duty. It means truth. It means veracity. You say, what's veracity? It's a strict adherence to truth. That's what veracity is. Strict performance of promises, vows, or covenants. When you hear the definition of faithfulness as given to us in the dictionary, what do all those things remind you of? God. They remind me of God. So guess what? The psalmist correctly said that about God's faithfulness. It's mentioned several times in this passage in Psalm 89. He said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Ladies and gentlemen, today in 2023, about to be 2024, this world needs to know about the faithfulness of God. Society is changing. Can anybody here want to trust the government? Oh, I want to. Can I? No, I can't. I think I'd rather trust something else. Anything else. No. Can you trust society? It's all always changing. How about the knowledge of mankind? Yeah. When you get doctorates and master's degrees and all kinds of knowledge. That's where I'll build my foundations. No, how about God? And guess what the next generations need to know? That God is faithful. God in His great faithfulness, His unmovability, His loyalty, His firm adherence, His duty, His truth and veracity, strict performance of promises, vows and covenants. Is God just accomplishing what He said He's going to accomplish? He is. Are these things coming to pass? Hey, we haven't done it yet, and it'll probably be another year and a half till we get there, but the book of Revelation. Anybody seeing anything in there about the times and the signs of the times of today? It's coming. Why is it coming? Because these things... Hey, did you know that Jesus came in the fullness of time? Christ came forth. Do you understand that? That God's got a timeline. You know our days are numbered? Yeah, somewhere up here, maybe on the underside of our scalp, that we all got a little number. Yeah, days, hours, time, minutes, you know. I'm just kidding. Don't go look, kids. Yeah. Why are you cutting your head? Oh, preacher, there's a number there. I want to see what it is. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. Okay. But no, our days are numbered. Hey, the Bible even says He even knows how many hairs are on our head, and I'm trying to make it easier for God to count. You know, just missing a few more each day. Subtraction is easy, right? You just take away. But why? God is true. He's faithful. He wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you see all these things that we just mentioned in these definitions, in this great song, all the things that are described there, which come from Scripture? There are, in this particular hymn book, there are listed over a dozen different passages of Scripture that those verses from that poem come from. Just describing the faithfulness of God. The truth and the veracity and the strict adherence and performance of promises, vows, and covenants. Folks, let God be true and every man a liar. So first of all, let's focus on the great faithfulness of God's truth. In Isaiah 25, the Scriptures record, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name. For Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You understand that it's not my interpretation that this is truth. It's not my belief that this is truth. Do you understand that? Us old-timey Baptists, we didn't make this up. We didn't just decide one day, well, this book looks good. Let's call it the Word of God and let's call it truth. No. It is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, this old book is God's faithfulness to us. You know what God has made sure of? To preserve His word for us. God has been so careful to make sure that we have the Word of God. Why? So we can know that He is faithful. Do you have God's Word in your hand today? Do you believe you have God's Word in your hand today? Hey, why don't we start living like it? You know what makes the Marine Corps special? I have a great love and appreciation for our country's Marine Corps. Now, they're a little nuts. But they are Department of the Navy, if you didn't know that. Okay? They would claim to the men's department. Any good Marine would know that joke. But do you understand? Their theme, always faithful, has it meant something throughout the years? What do you know the Marine Corps for? For that. Okay? You understand? But God, what is God known for? His faithfulness. You want to talk about Semper Fidelis, always faithful? That's our God. He's always, there's never been a time that God hasn't been faithful. Always faithful. His word is faithful. And you know what? I have come to rely on this word just as much as we might rely on the Marine Corps to get the job done. But you understand that even more than the Marine Corps can be, which they're a great part of a branch of our service, all the services that we have of our country's military. But you understand, this book is more faithful than that. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong. It is God's loyalty and faithfulness and veracity to us. It's secure. You can build your whole life upon it. And the life of generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. It's not going to change. It's true. It's always faithful. Hey, you know what? This book's never going to steer you wrong. If you follow your heart, where's it going to take you? Yeah, wrong way. If you follow the book, where's it going to take you? The right way every time. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a... Yeah. Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. God's truth is always faithful. In Psalm 119, in verses 89 through 96, is the Hebrew letter Lamed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Does that sound faithful to you? Does that sound sure to you? Does that sound like loyalty and firm adherence and truth and veracity and strict performance? It does to me. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Let me ask you a question. How can God show his faithfulness and prove his faithfulness to all generations if it's not recorded somewhere? You know what this is? This is a record of God's faithfulness. I challenge you. I dare you. Find a place where God has not been faithful in this book. It's not there. It's not there. You say, well, what about this time? Was it God that wasn't faithful or was it man that wasn't faithful? Now, there's lots of times where man has not been faithful and what happened? Bad things. But that wasn't God. That was man. God is faithful. He said, the psalmist says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You understand there is not a generation that God hasn't been faithful to. He's been faithful to all of them. And guess what? He's even faithful to our generation. We were just talking about generations. I was wondering what generation my wife was a part of. I know I'm a generation X. Right? Come on, Brother Dart. Yeah, we're those weirdos, Generation X. Okay, some of you are baby boomers. You studied that, right? We were just talking about the the Great War. The 1900 to 1920 is the Great Generation. That's what they call them. Who studied the generations? Well, my wife comes from generation. We decided it was Generation Y. She missed it by like a year or two, right? Yeah, 2 years, 1980. Generation Y. Generation Y is millennials. Who's a millennial? 1980 to 2000. Okay, you're a millennial. All right, anybody? Millennials? A few of you. Okay, good. That's okay. I married a millennial. anyway, we were talking about generation. But you know, there's not a generation that God hasn't been faithful to. His faithfulness is to all generations. He says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Still here, folks. This old world's here for a little while longer. Now, one day it's going to be consumed by fire, right? New heaven and a new earth, right? All that's going to happen later on. But do you understand? It's still here. Hey, does the sun still come up in the morning? Does it still set at night? Do the seasons still come? Yes, they do. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. We've got an El Nino winter coming. Oh, like that's never happened before? I talk about this all. I'm going to get off on like 60 rabbit trails today. Okay. Do you understand that we haven't had accurate records of weather patterns for very long? So how do you know that this old earth hasn't gone through this particular weather cycle thousands of years ago? Who knows that? No, well, it's global warming. No, it's not. It's the cycles and seasons of the earth that God set in motion a long time ago. We just haven't been recording it. 2011. Who remembers 2011? It was hot here. Over 70 plus days, over 100 in a row. I was here for that. I think because I suffered through that in 2011, I should be an official Texan forever. Nothing could go. I mean, we watered stuff. And I watched as I poured out the water. It just evaporated. It didn't even go to the ground. And the plant's going, ah! You know, and it wouldn't even. Every plant that we owned died that year. I mean, it's terrible. Y'all remember that, right? I mean, it's hot. These cycles aren't new. It's not global warming. The earth is still abides. It's in motion. God's faithfulness, it's true. But why? This book says it is. If science wants to know the truth, where should they go? Here. If historians want to know the truth, where should they go? Here. If you want to know the truth about grammar and math and English and everything, don't go to some textbook. Go here. Because it's the truth. One of the worst things a public school ever did, first of all, was come in existence. Secondly, they kicked out the Word of God. You understand? This is the truth. God's Word is His faithfulness in truth to us. Psalm 108 says, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. In our text that we read today, Ethan writes and says, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. This is God's faithfulness. It's associated with truth. His truth reacheth unto the clouds. In Titus 1, Paul writes and says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. This is the faithful word, folks. Where are we going to know truth from? This book. Where are we going to be able to see people's lives transformed? This book. Where are we going to find salvation in what we know about heaven and hell? This book. It's God's truth and it's His faithfulness. In Revelation 20, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. From beginning to end, folks, God's truth is faithful. Psalm 119, psalmist once again records, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. If you'd like to, you can turn your Bibles over to Psalm 19. I'm just going to read all 14 verses here. Because it explains the faithfulness of God and his truth. You ever wonder why the first 6 verses talk about something and then the 7 through 14 talk about something else? But listen to this. It goes together. And it has to do with the faithfulness of God's truth to us. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Where is God's faithfulness displayed? In the heavens, folks. Where is his truth? To the clouds. Do you understand this? This is not just some artistic or poetic thing. It's real. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Listen, very nature exudes the truth of God. The faithfulness of our great God. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words... Wait, what? The atmosphere, the firmament, the heavens have words? Just listen. And their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit to the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now listen, it may seem strange to you for him to talk about the heavens declaring the glory of God and the sun coming out of his chamber and all these things and their words going out throughout all the earth and all of this. And then he goes right into verse 7. You're like, huh? What? How does that make sense? But it does make sense. What are they saying? What are the heavens declaring the glory of God? What are they establishing? The truth. Listen to what comes next. It's in verse 6. Let's go back. It says, His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. Altogether, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What do you think the heavens are declaring, folks? The truth of God's word. What do you think the sun shows as it goes throughout his circuits from one end to the other? The truth of God's word. God's great faithfulness. Secondly, not only do we have God's great faithfulness in His truth, but also in His promises. His promises. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What are God's promises to us, folks? Can I take you to 1 Peter? Where Peter writes, and he talks about the promises of God. He says, according as His divine power, in 2 Peter chapter 1, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why? Why are these promises of God so great? Why do they show His faithfulness? Because they're for us and they're for our benefit. He goes on to say this. He says that by these, by what? These great and precious promises. By these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, what greater promise than the promise of salvation? And aren't you glad that you're not keeping your salvation? Because we're not kept by our power, we're kept by His power. The Holy Spirit of God is what seals us unto the day of redemption, not the Holy Spirit of Eric. If I had to keep myself saved, I'd be lost. Just like you. But God is faithful. In 1 John, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. You understand that not only is God given us the promise of salvation, He's given us the promise of forgiveness. Fellowship. He's promised us fellowship. If we'll just come to Him and confess our sins, He'll wash us up. He'll make us clean. He'll restore us to fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? Because who here is perfect? I want to meet you. I want to shake your hand. If you're perfect today. Anybody perfect? Okay, great. You can raise your hand if you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Well, who here knows for sure that they're going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that promise in Scripture? Amen. Great, 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 wonderful. Now, how many of you that just raised your hand, you're going to heaven, but you're not perfect, you still sin? Yeah, every one of you should raise your hand again. Okay. Yeah. But what promise do we have? Yeah. We have His promise of cleansing, of fellowship. You can come down to this old-fashioned altar and you can say, God, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And He will. He'll bring you back into His loving arms and He'll receive you, because that's what He promised in 1 John. He's promised us salvation. He's promised us cleansing. He's promised us fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is He that promised. It's God's promises. They're faithful. His truth is faithful. Then one last one. There are many more. I could go on for hours. Okay, I can go on for hours. I didn't have any objection to that. I guess I didn't call us into a business meeting or anything, but no. Not only is God's truth and God's promises faithful, but His love is faithful. No one can love like God can love. It's unconditional, folks. I mean, how can the Scriptures even show us the love of God? It's really unfathomable. How could God love a sinner such as I? How could He even consider me? I love the passage of Scripture that says, "What is man that Thou art mindful of him?" I cannot comprehend it. How can we comprehend the love of God? The breadth, the length, the depth, the width of it. All the dimensions. It's multidimensional. I can't explain the love of God. But what I do know about the love of God is that it's faithful. God's love is the most faithful kind of love that you and I can ever experience. More faithful than that of a spouse. More faithful than that of a child. More faithful than that of a parent. The love of God. In Hosea chapter 2, I'd encourage you to study Hosea. Hosea had the, this is my opinion. I told you I'd tell you when my opinion. I think Hosea had the hardest time as a prophet of God. He said, "What about Jonah?" Jonah was a whiny baby. Okay? Jonah had it easy. You know what Hosea's job was? To show by his own personal experience how Israel had gone away from the Lord. Just study his life. I don't have time to get into it today. I'm already over time. But listen to what Hosea said in chapter 2. "And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely." This is God speaking about His people. His people that were like a harlot that had gone off over and over again and not been faithful to Him. I lost my spot. "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil. And they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." That's an amazing picture of the love of God. That's another one of my favorite hymns. Oh, love of God, how great and pure, how measureless and strong. You understand that I could go on with those particular verses of hymn, but you understand that God's love for us is the epitome of faithfulness. "You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy." Oh, listen to this. Please listen to this. "For His great love." Oh, not just great faithfulness. Not just great truth. Not just great and precious promises. But His great love. love wherewith he loved us, comma, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. You know, I love that word, vivify, to make alive again. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I could go on. I'm not going to. And all the church said. I hope that through the hymn today, through the passages of Scripture, Psalm 89, you can go through and read the whole thing. God's great faithfulness is upon us. And we need to show it to all the generations to come. What's this next generation? 2020 to 2040, what's that going to be called? Does it have a name already? Huh? Z? Gen Z, I think, is 20 to 2020. I don't know. Gen A? I'm not sure. Alpha, that's right. It is Alpha. I read that. Who's an Alpha? 2020? Emily's an Alpha. Where's Emily? She's in the nursery. Who's going to tell them about the faithfulness of God? Baby boomers? Gen X? Gen Y? Gen Z? Who's going to tell them? God's great faithfulness.